The scripture reading this evening comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, reading verses 6, partway through verse 6 to the end of verse 13. Jesus sending out the 12. We hear this word of our Lord. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave, as a testimony against them. And they went out and preached that the people should repent. And they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Amen. Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever sought to share the gospel? Share it with someone who does not yet believe and maybe has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you sought to share that gospel with them and afterwards you're like, well, that really didn't work too well. I really didn't have the right words. I should have said this or I should have said that. Or your friend really wasn't too interested. In fact, he quickly changed the topic and asked you what you thought of the Blue Jays game last night. So we're discouraged. We wonder, should we continue? Should we abandon? Should we try again? Or should we change the way we seek to preach and share the gospel with others? Text we read this evening in Mark chapter 6 follows upon the story of Jesus preaching in Nazareth. And he was rejected. They even tried to kill him. I'm assuming no one's ever tried to kill you or tried to kill you because you shared the gospel. What does Jesus do? Does he stop teaching? Does he get discouraged? Does he abandon the effort? Does he decide that he needs to change the message or even his approach to teaching? No. In the first sentence we read tonight, Jesus went around teaching from village to village. He went from village to village teaching, doing exactly the same thing he had done since the beginning of his ministry. He continues the same ministry which he has before him. And that's the theme we wish to seek to develop this evening, that our mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mission of our Lord Jesus, continues. The mission of the Lord Jesus Christ continues. And I'd like in the first time to simply look at the text before us as Jesus sends out the 12. And then to consider the fact that Jesus continues to send out the church, in particular preachers of the gospel. Finally, to consider the fact that Jesus sends us. He sends you to be his witnesses in this world. So let's begin, first of all, by looking at the text before us. Jesus sends out the 12. We read in verse 7, calling the 12 to him, the 12 disciples, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. He called the 12, and we understand immediately the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. And you, the children, you understand very well about whom he's referring to. You know the story very well about Peter and Andrew in their boats, and they were fishers of men. And Jesus called them and said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Preach the gospel. You can read it in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. He called others, James and John. He had many disciples who followed him. And in Mark chapter 3, verses 14 and following, we read how Jesus called to himself his disciples, and of the many disciples, he chose 12. And he designated them apostles, the sent ones, those who would be sent out by him into this world. What we need to understand that is when we come to Mark chapter 6 and Jesus has been rejected in Nazareth, when he continues his own ministry and then sends out the 12, it's not a new idea. Jesus is not saying, oh, that didn't work in Nazareth. I need to multiply the workers. I need to find more people to support me. This was his idea from the beginning of his ministry, that he would call forth to himself 12 apostles. And those apostles, the sent ones, would be sent out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to note here in verse 7 that he sent them out two by two. In fact, the text would say he began to send them out. Jesus is beginning that sending ministry, the sending of his people into this world. We should take note of the instructions he gives to the 12. They're rather interesting. He gives instructions first to them about their material well-being, and then about the way that they will be received in the towns of Judah, and the warning that they must leave if they are not well received. We read first of all about the material well-being in verses 8 and 9. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belt, wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. These are not the instructions of a mother sending off her son to college. A mother would say, you take an extra bag, you take an extra pair of sandals, and a more, here's a loaf of bread for you, and a lot more. But these are not the instructions of a mother to her college son. These are also not instructions about living more simply, or living more simply with less. Although that is a good biblical principle, but that's not Jesus' first concern. These instructions are to highlight the urgency of their work. The urgency of their work to go and preach the gospel. They must give themselves entirely to the preaching of the kingdom of God and not be concerned about material well-being. But it's also in relationship to the prophets of the Old Testament. The prophets who spoke the word of God should receive from the people of God for the material well-being. They should be provided for. And in that light, this instruction about their material well-being is in connection with the welcome that they should be receiving in each town. We read that in verse 10. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. As in, do not go from house to house. Stay in one house and let that family feed you, let you sleep there, and if they need to, give you extra clothing. Do not go from house to house. Why not? Because when we go to house, what do? We socialize. You need to come in, present yourself. Who are you? Where you come from? Oh, do you know such and such a person? Have you ever visited? And we spend time in the social engagements. And they would have less time for the preaching and teaching of the gospel. The urgency of the message, the urgency of the work is such that stay in one house and go preach. And if they are not received, there's a warning which they must give. A warning which we read in verse 11. And if in any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. This is a text of judgments, God's judgment. But we thought God was love. A few years ago, I was speaking to a professor at the Laval University Seminary, a Roman Catholic priest, and he didn't teach or think much of God's judgments. He didn't believe God judged and condemned. We had read this text, and I said, well, what do you think of this shaking out of the dust? He said, Bernard, because he called me Bernard in Quebec. He said, Bernard. And I read the dust. It makes me think of Genesis chapter 2. When God from the dust of the earth created Adam. Jesus is saying that from this dust he will create new life. I'll admit, I was a little dumbfounded. I was like, wow, never heard of that interpretation. What do you do with that? And yes, we do praise and thank God that there are those who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are but dust, hard stones. And years later, God in his grace gives him his spirit. And they're born again to new life. We praise God for that wonderful work. But that's not the instruction of Jesus here. In some manuscripts, they add a text about the judgment against Sodom and Gomorrah. But what's more important is the Jewish context of the time period. Pious Jews, when they traveled and they went through a town where there were no Jews, a pagan town, a non-Jewish town, when they left that town, they would shake the dust out of their feet. Why? To say that we are separated from you. We do not worship the same God. Jesus is sending out the 12 Jewish disciples into the Jewish towns of Israel to preach the kingdom of God, and if the Jewish people of Israel will not heed the gospel and respond by faith and repentance, they are shaken out. We do not worship the same God. You are separated from God and his people. This is a very strong word of judgment against the people of Israel, against the people of God who do not heed and respond by repentance. We are God's people. We've received the covenant, the new covenant. We bear the name of the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in our baptism. You hear the gospel. If you do not respond by faith and repentance, you are shaken out like dust. And you are separated from God and his people. Be careful how you listen. You must respond by faith and repentance to receive the blessings of the kingdom of God. The 12 disciples do listen to Jesus, and they go forth. We read about their obedience to Jesus' commands in verses 12 and 13. They went out and preached that people should repent. They should ask for forgiveness and change the way they're living. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Now, about their work here, we can say many things, but what I find most interesting for us, and particularly the theme of Jesus continues his mission, is the fact that what the disciples do here is exactly what Jesus has been doing since the beginning of his earthly ministry. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, Jesus preaches the coming of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. And the disciples preach the same message. Since chapter 1, we read of the miracles, and the children know many of the miracles that Jesus accomplished, of casting out demons and healing the sick. And the 12 go out and do exactly the same thing as the Lord Jesus Christ. They continue his same mission. There is one intriguing difference here. They anointed with oil. Verse 13, they anointed many of the sick with oil. Why oil? Some people would see here a reference to the Holy Spirit. However, Jesus has not yet instructed about the Holy Spirit, nor has the Holy Spirit of Pentecost been poured out. It's not likely about the Holy Spirit. You children know the answer because you know the story of the Good Samaritan. When the Good Samaritan picked up that Jewish man who had been beaten, what did he do to him before putting him on his donkey? He put oil on his wounds. Because back in the day, there were no drugstores. There were no medications except the medication of oil. It was a medication for healing. The disciples use oil. Why? What does that signify for us? I believe we need to understand here, particularly in the light that Jesus never used oil, we need to understand that the disciples are giving healing not by their own power. They are not healing directly. They are healing by the power that comes from God, in particular the authority that Jesus gave them, as we read in verse 7. But Jesus, when he heals, he never uses oil. Why not? Because he heals directly. He is the Son of God. He is God, creator of life, who heals. But for the rest, the disciples have the same mission of the Lord Jesus Christ because they are his ambassadors. And so to hear the 12 apostles preach the gospel of Jesus Christ is to hear Christ himself. And to receive healing from the 12 is to receive healing from Jesus Christ. The mission of the Lord Jesus continues. And so we have that mission, as it was in those days. That was the first time he sends out the 12. It was the mission of Jesus, but it still is the mission. The mission which Jesus begins here, as we can read in verse 7, is the mission which Jesus continues. Second point we need to consider this evening, the mission that our Lord Jesus continues to do, not only here at the sending out of the 12, but afterwards. And again, we know how the mission continues because we've read Matthew 28, when the Lord Jesus, before rising to heaven, said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." And he sent out the 12 apostles once again. The book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is poured out, and they go and preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I encourage you to read the book of Acts again. To even read it in one sitting, it only takes about 3 hours, 4 hours if you take a little bit of extra time. But to read in one sitting and to see how the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, sends forth his apostles with the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel. There's some parallels between the text that we read this morning and the this evening in Mark 6 and the book of Acts, particularly in the instructions of Jesus. The apostles almost always go out in groups, often two. Peter and John go into the temple. Paul and Barnabas are sent on a mission. When there's a sad division between them, Barnabas takes Mark. Paul takes Silas. They're always going out in twos to teach the kingdom of God. They have a simplicity in their lifestyle. They depend on the gifts of those who hear them in order to live. They obviously preach the same message of the kingdom of God, just with greater clarity because Christ has died and risen again. They also heal. Why the healings? The healings are a sign for us of the liberation, the deliverance that comes from Jesus Christ. That he not only forgives sins, but he also takes away the consequences of sin, which is the suffering of this world and even death. But there's a second reason why the apostles heal, to confirm their message is true. If you look at with me just briefly the text in Hebrews chapter 2, or if you want to note this text, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, speaking about the word of God which goes forth in Jesus Christ and salvation, we read this. This salvation, which was first announced by our Lord, Lord Jesus, was confirmed to us by those who heard him, the apostles. And God also testified to this message by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. God the Father gave his confirmation that what the apostles said is true. And the sign was the miracles. So our Lord sent out the 12, but he continues to send out his church, and in particular preachers of the gospel, preachers, pastors, missionaries, evangelists. They continue the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't go as the apostles, or not in exactly the same way. They are not to give new revelations. They do not need to do new healings to confirm the message. We have the one word of God given to us, written down. And preachers must be faithful to this word given by our Lord Jesus Christ through the apostles. They preach the same message. It's still the call to repentance. And they pray for healing. Sometimes we forget that important ministry of the preaching of the word of God, praying for healing. James chapter 5 reminds us that if we are sick, we should call the elders to pray over us so that we might be healed. We need to have the man of God pray over us for healing, even as fervently as we run off to the doctor and to the clinics and take medication. To hear the man of God, preacher, pastor, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ is to learn from the Lord Jesus himself. To hear a pastor or an elder pray over us for healing is to receive the healing that Christ himself gives. If you come back to our text here in Mark 6, what lessons can we draw for the preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ today? There's many lessons, but let me highlight two of them. The importance of living simply. Whether you're Roman Catholic or evangelical, those who are not believers, what they often see in the church is the money, the rich buildings, the well-dressed pastors, their big ministries, even an airplane, as I've seen one televangelist said, he bought an airplane, cash. For the non-believers, they are offended by how rich the church is and how rich the leaders of the church are. We do need to live in simplicity in this world. But it's not simply living in simplicity for simplicity's sake, but it's also that we as pastors and preachers are not preoccupied by the material things of this world. When we have one or two, even three cars to wash on a Saturday, the cottage to take care of or a boat to take care of, we are taking ourselves away from that urgent gospel ministry of preaching the word. We need to be in the word of God in the preaching of the ministry, and the Lord will provide for our daily needs. Another lesson we can take from this text is the importance of the word of warning and even the judgment of God. And this is not easy. But when a man or a woman hears the gospel, it is clearly taught, and even taught several times, and they refuse to hear the word of God, we must shake out the dust. we must warn them. We must tell them that they are separated from God. The door is always open. God from the dust can raise up new life. They can come back anytime. And we pray for them. But they must be warned. They are separated from God. Would our Lord give us more preachers of the gospel? Every generation we need preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even from this congregation, that there would be young men that the Lord would raise up to preach the kingdom of God in this world. When I preached this message in 2013 in Quebec, I set before the congregation the need that God would raise up men from Quebec, Quebecers, French-speaking Quebecers, to preach the gospel. It had been 25 years since we ordained a man of Quebec to the preaching ministry. The rest of them are like me, English-speaking guys who learn French and speak it with an accent. They're gracious to receive us. January 2015, we were able to ordain David Castonguay to the ministry of the word in the ERQ. And we pray that the Lord would give us more servants of God from amongst the Quebecers to preach to their fellow citizens. The mission of our Lord continues. Pray that he would send forth harvesters into his harvest field. Our Lord Jesus Christ sent forth the 12. He continues to send forth preachers into the world. And he sends you. You are his disciples. You who have heard the word of truth, have received it by faith and repentance. You are his disciples, and now Christ sends you into this world as his witnesses. You too need to be those who will share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd like to draw out some lessons then from this text before us in Mark chapter 6 about how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Probably the first thing we notice is the fact that Jesus sent them out two by two. I don't know if you've ever had people coming two by two to your door. We call them Jehovah Witnesses. Hats off to their tenacity. I recently was on a website talking about the growth of evangelical churches in North America. The Jehovah Witnesses were unfortunately included amongst evangelical churches, but they had the highest rate of growth. They take a text like Mark chapter 6 and say the Lord requires us to go door to door, two by two. I don't believe it's a requirement for the people of God. In terms of missions and what's an effective approach, I don't believe it's the most effective way to do outreach. But we may. We've sometimes done it. But why does Jesus send them out two by two? Because good Jewish people knew the Old Testament. And in the law of Moses, it was always required that a truth would be established by two or three witnesses. Jesus is sending out two men to preach the gospel to confirm for the Jewish people that what they are saying is the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of God. How can we apply that principle in our day-to-day life? That when we have an opportunity to share the gospel with someone, a co-worker, a neighbor, we need to have them get into connection with other believers. They have to see that it's not just you yourself who is a believer and live out the gospel. They need to see that other members of the church, other friends who are believers, also live out the gospel. And whether they can live it, not just in the church setting, but also in the day-to-day setting. And so I rejoice when members of our church, someone who has an interest in the gospel, they might come to church or not, but also that they're out playing hockey with other members of our church. They're being received in our homes for a meal, or at Tim Hortons for a coffee. So that they have contact with several believers, two, three, four, five witnesses, so that they can see this is how believers are. This is who they are. This is how they live the gospel in a day-to-day life. This is how they pray. So through two, three, four, five witnesses, they will be drawn into the gospel. Every new believer that we've received in our church, they always came through two, three, four, five witnesses, even before they came to me as a pastor to teach them in the gospel truths. But there's other lessons from this text for us. Jesus sent out his apostles to preach the kingdom of God and also to heal, to speak the word of truth, but also to live it out. There's lessons for us here as believers. If we think first of all about living out the gospel and particularly healing. What do we do when someone is sick? member of our family, or even of our church family. We pray for them. We write them a card. We might bring them to the hospital or accompany or visit them at the hospital. Pick up their medication for them. Prepare a meal. We do this amongst believers, and it's a beautiful, wonderful ministry of the communion of the saints. Do we do this for the non-believer? For the co-worker? For the neighbor? Or a member of the family who doesn't believe? To bring that same healing ministry into their lives. I read an article about apartments in Montreal and Quebec City a few years back. The third to even one half of all apartments is a single person living in them. Why? Separation, divorce. But ultimately, they like to be on their own. Eat when they want to eat what they want to eat, listen to the music they want to listen to. It's nice being on their own. There was one comment in the article that really struck me. One person mentioned that being alone is really difficult when you're sick. No one to take care of you. No one to run and get your medication. No one to prepare you a chicken noodle soup. Loneliness when you're sick is very difficult. And we can be a wonderful Christian witness if we will take the time to spread our wings and bring this ministry of healing to the non-believer. To send them a card, to visit them, and to pray that God would heal even the person who does not know God, the Creator, Redeemer, Healer. Quickly, a story from a pastor, Leonard Payton. He writes in a book, I haven't got all the details here, but he writes in a book that one Saturday afternoon he was working in his backyard, and usually the neighbor, an elderly gentleman, came over to help him because he, the pastor, had two left hands and wasn't able to work too well, and his neighbor helped him out. One Saturday afternoon, the neighbor never stopped by. He saw him a couple days later and said, "Hey, didn't see you on Saturday afternoon." He said, "I was at the hospital. My wife has cancer." So Leonard Payton said, "Hey, I'll pray for you. Pray for healing." And he did. And he regularly talked with them. He even had opportunities to go into their house and sit at their kitchen table and pray with the couple for healing. And he continued faithfully praying for them throughout the chemotherapy treatment. But after the chemotherapy, the doctor said to the mother, to the wife, "I'm sorry, there's nothing more we can do. Going to die. Would you like me to call someone in, a spiritual leader?" And she said, "Well, my father was Roman Catholic. My mother was Episcopalian Anglican. For a while, we were in a Baptist church. But my neighbor's a Presbyterian pastor. Call him in." And so they did. And Leonard Payton went in, spoke to her, and she says, "I want you to do my funeral." He said, "I'd love to. But I need to know what you believe." And she said, "I don't know what to believe." So he taught her the gospel. She confessed faith in Christ. And they celebrated her funeral as a child of God. Because Leonard Payton said, "I'll pray for you." Can we bring healing into this world by our prayers for those who are ill? And even maybe bring healing to their souls. This is the way to live out the gospel in a day-to-day life, but at some point we also need to speak, and I would dare say this is where we Christians get a little bit more nervous, when we have to speak the word of truth. We're not sure what to say. We need to give our own personal testimony, say about what it means to be a Christian. I usually encourage believers to say, "Well, just mention to people what you did on the weekend. You watched the Blue Jays game on Saturday night, and Sunday you went to church." And tell them you went to church twice, and they'll really be, "Wow. Why do you go to church?" Explain. Maybe have a Bible verse ready. It's good to have a track. It's good to take the time to know a gospel presentation. All good things to do. Believe me, let me leave you with one thing which I'm seeking to do myself more and more. Because we as believers, because we have the word of truth, we're very quick to speak. And we can speak a long time. And the other one's no longer listening after three sentences. But we're still going. I encourage you to ask questions. Brother in the Lord noted, he said that the Lord Jesus Christ often asked questions before he taught. Read through the Gospels, it's often true. He often asked a question, and then later on he taught. He gained the interest and the listening of those who he was speaking to. We would do well as Christians to ask more questions. Well, what do you believe? So what is your church background? What have you experienced? How has the church wronged you? What do you understand about Jesus Christ? So what do you think is weird about Christians? So what answer would you like me to give you? How can I help? And the door might be open for you to speak at least one element of a gospel truth. And leave it there. Let it simmer. And then follow up later. So what do you think? May the Lord give us boldness as we are as his disciples in this world, his witnesses. Boldness not because we're so gifted and so at ease sharing the gospel, but boldness because this is the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. He sends us out, and his mission continues. And when we speak, he's with us. Go and make disciples of all nations, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Amen.